This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Linda Schrager, an occupational therapist and expert in the field of geriatric rehabilitation, as well as the author of Age in Place, a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering mom and dad's home. You gotta love the sounds of this, and Linda, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to hearing from you today, Linda. So tell us, what are some of the biggest obstacles to overcome when trying to help aging parents stay in their home?
Well, the first thing, and the thing that I find is really pretty universal, is trying to convince our parents that they may need to make some modifications to help them get around safely. And often these are small and simple steps that are easy to accomplish. What happens, I see, is that we as the kids are often convinced that our parents are having difficulty getting around the house and managing their activities. But the parents, on the other hand, have sort of modified everything and become so used to it. For example, getting down the stairs, they feel the knees kind of creak a little bit, or even getting on and off the toilet, it's harder. But they kind of just do it, and they get so used to it that they don't see that as a problem. So the trick is that the adult children really have to go over and spend some time with mom and dad and observe and see how are they doing getting around the house, and note literally from getting in, from the driveway, out of the car, into the house, around to all of the rooms, on and off the furniture, in and out of bed, that kind of thing. And then they, armed with their data, should kind of sit down with mom and dad and say, look, you know, we see these issues and we want to work with you on them. But the problem is having helping mom and dad to see that it is, in fact, a problem, and to work with them to convince them that with some small modifications, really, the house can be made safe. And the key to it all is we're not telling them that they need to move to an assisted living or give up their home. We're all on the same page in that we're helping them to see that we have the same goal, to keep them home. So that's the good news, and that often makes it an easier conversation to have.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, what's the best strategy for getting mom and dad on board with organizing and decluttering, which I'm sure is not so easy?
Well, so the first thing is to try to get them to see that modifying their home and working on the declutter will really end up giving them a safer environment. And we want to work cooperatively with mom and dad. We have to remember that it's important not to lose our patience. They deserve respect. We need to treat them with respect. You know, I often hear that people will say we're parenting our parents. And really, Eric, that is not true. They're our parents, and they're going to remain our parents, and it's important for us to remember that. We're just the kids. So we want to work cooperatively with them, and that way it's a win-win situation. So when we're talking about decluttering, often what happens and why we get pushback on some of these things, it's not the object itself, but it's the nature of the attachment to the object that makes it hard to part with. So you want to ask them, what's the meaning behind the object? What's the story about it? And often exploring that with them will help them to part with the thing but keep the memory of the thing. So, you know, for example, the teacup collection, and it turns out that was really grandma's, and that means a lot because it was grandma's thing. So if we hear the story about it and help them to realize that that's what's holding them back, that can often help them to start the decluttering process. and talk to them about their goals for decluttering. What is why? What would that look like in the future? Do they want to downsize? Do they want to travel more? Do they want to have an easier environment to move around in? And we want to take them through this exercise by asking them, what is the likelihood I'll use it again? How can I make money from this? Would someone else benefit from having it? Is it so special I want a special person to have it? Will my life change in any way if I get rid of this? What is the absolute worst that could happen if I get rid of this? And if I needed it in the future, could I get it again? And that is a very good exercise because that helps them to start realizing, to put more thought into these objects and realizing that there's many of them that they could do without.
What are a few modifications that can make a big difference to the safety of seniors in their homes?
Okay, well, my big one is, well, first of all, just so that you know, and I'm sure that you do realize this and many of your listeners would guess correctly, that most falls happen in the bathroom. So that is where I go first when I'm doing a modification with a client. And the big thing is grab bars. Grab bars are a great modification. I put them all over the place. I put them in the shower, of course, and also they work well next to the toilet because people will have problems getting on and off the toilet. They could be opposite the sink so that if someone wants to stand and maybe do their grooming, their hygiene, brush their teeth, shave, they can hold on to the grab bar. So a grab bar is great. It's not that expensive. There are suction grab bars. That's sort of another story. I talk about that in the book, the difference between when to use suction and when to use an installed grab bar by a contractor. But no question, the installation is the better way to go. If there is a very smooth surface and there's no grout lines or no texture, the suction may work well. But using a grab bar is a great modification. The other thing in the bathroom, looking at the bath mat, and I call it the Schrager twist test, where I stand on the mat and I actually, my 2 feet are about 12 inches apart, and I try to do the twist. And if the mat moves, that means that the rubber backing is no longer working, and 90% of the time that's the case, believe me. So I just say to them, you know what, it's okay to have bath mats, but there's sort of a rumor out there that you should throw away all your bath mats. That's not true. But you need one with a really good rubber back. So that's an easy thing to do, not a lot of money. The toilet height is important. Many of the old homes, the toilets are anywhere from 15 to 17 inches high. Toilet height is important because we see a lot of falls getting on and off the toilet. So look at the height of that. There are many different risers. I also talk about those in the book. Many different modifications to the toilet. But you're shooting for around 18 to 19 inches of height, which makes it easier. And then quickly, in other rooms, staircases, you want double railings. Many times sometimes there's actually none, but many times there's at least one. If you can get two, it gives you a lot more balance and it's easier to go up and down the stairs. In the bedroom, it's all about the bed and the height of the bed, getting on and getting off, and that's often a problem. People have old beds that are mushy and soft and practically down on the floor, and they can't get out of them. Or they go buy themselves a new bed, and it's got all those added comfy tops, and it's so high they can't get on. So looking at the height of the bed in relation to the person, rule of thumb around 22 inches from the floor to the top of the mattress. Kitchen, I look through, I see if they can reach things. You know, if the cabinets are too high, I just say, look, what do you use the most? Let's take those down, get them at the lower height, and put, the Thanksgiving turkey platter way up top, and once a year your kid will come and bring it down for you. So just looking at accessibility in the kitchen. And, I look at how people get in and out of the house, and if there's stairs leading in from the garage or the front porch, and we modify those with the correct railings. The very good lighting is very important throughout the house. That's a big one.
Super information and most helpful today. We're joined by Linda Schrager, an occupational therapist and expert in the field of geriatric rehabilitation. She's also the author of Age in Place, a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering mom and dad's home. Here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Senior Care Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Linda, so tell us, what are some red flags that signal a parent's cognitive abilities are declining, and what should be done here?
Well, so again, the way that you can tell these things is to go and spend some time watching them go throughout the house. But when what you're looking for is a pattern of neglect over a period of time that will raise that red flag and alert you to things that need to be looked into. So, for example, some behaviors to be concerned about: getting lost driving home, not recognizing familiar objects, displaying unsafe behavior, such as they leave the oven on, the stove on. You know, losing your keys, everybody does that. But finding the keys in the refrigerator, that's when it could be trouble. So you want to sort of assess the parent. Think to yourself, does their behavior and temperament seem status quo? Is there an increased talk of a feeling of hopelessness or depression? Are they argumentative? Do they seem paranoid? And the ways to see that in the house is just looking. Are they cooking their favorite foods? Is the pantry full of fresh, healthy food? If you notice that it's all takeout and frozen, that could be because they don't have the ability to cook anymore. Are the pots and pans burned? That kind of thing. If you know body odors, it might be that they're anxious over the fear of going in and out of the shower, and so they stop showering. And that you can tell just by having that body odor that you seem to notice. You know, are they having problems managing the bills, the pills, the general household maintenance? Is it looking, again, cluttered, and does it seem like there's stuff all over? And that's a sign that they might be having some cognitive difficulties. So, again, there's a lot of reasons why they could be having some cognitive changes. It's not necessarily dementia. It could be medications or a lot of other things. So the first thing to do is get them to a doctor for an evaluation.
And when is the best time to approach parents about making a plan in case the time comes that they aren't able to function independently?
This very second, the minute you hear this interview, because that's the problem, Eric. People don't do that. They don't want to have the conversation, and they figure mom and dad are status quo, everything's cool. We're going to just let it go, but that's when the crisis occurs. So the most important thing is to do it now, when there is no crisis, when everybody's calm. Like I say to people, have this conversation at the dinner table, not in the emergency room. And that's the key. And if you can sit down calmly, tell them that you have some concerns, tell them, but no, we're all on the same page. We want to keep you home in the house you love. But let's sit down and let's make a plan while all is calm, all is healthy, and all is good. And that's the trick. The time to do this, the time to get organized, the time to have a family meeting is now.
And I couldn't agree more with you on that. Lastly, an essential aspect of successful aging in place is having a caregiving team being ready and nearby. How do you build this team?
Okay, well, you're right. And the thing is that sometimes that's easier said than done. And the issue with that is that people might, you know, feel that they don't have help. So, of course, I say to people, start with the family. That's the most logical. Usually someone needs to take the lead. They are probably the one who lives the closest to mom and dad. And siblings are naturally the first ones on the team. And if they're not responsive, though, for whatever reason it may be, then, you know, it's okay to look at other people. There's nieces and nephews and grandchildren, and they're great on the team. The grandchildren, you know, depending on the age, obviously, but can do some tasks around the house, can help with shoveling and mowing and that kind of thing. The granddaughter can maybe help mom get dressed or stand by while she takes her shower. So it's important to keep that in mind, that there's a lot of people that could be asked for some help. And if necessary, start thinking outside the box. Ask your parents. Who are their friends? Who are their neighbors who you might not be aware of? Neighbors are great for tasks such as getting the mail and bringing it in, grabbing the newspaper, taking the garbage in and out. churches, synagogues, various other faith communities, they often have groups that are set up specifically for this reason, to help seniors who are alone, who are aging in their home. So that's a great place to look to get some outside help. And I always suggest to people, add a handyman to the team, because that is really important when that grab bar has to go up, when that railing has to be installed. Knowing a good handyman who you trust and who does good work is very, very important. If need be, you can consider paying aides. There are many agencies out there, or by word of mouth, hiring people who can come in and do some of these tasks with mom and dad if you feel that they need extra assistance. So paid help is great. And there are geriatric care managers who are professionals who help organize all of this if, for example, the children really do live far away and they aren't able to be on site.
Well, Linda, it certainly has been more than a pleasure to have had you with us. I love what you're doing in the space and can't thank you enough for what you do and what you offer, for the book you have as well. And before you go, where can listeners pick up the book Age in Place and also be in touch with you and get further details online?
Well, my website is otherwisehealthy.com, and they can find information about the book and contact me through that. I have a Facebook page, which if you like the Facebook page, I put lots of information, new articles, new pictures up all the time, and that's called The Organized Caregiver. And the book is available now on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and local bookstores.
Easy enough. Again, Linda, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Certainly wish you all the best and have a great afternoon.
Thank you. You too.
We've been speaking with Linda Schrager, an occupational therapist, an expert in the field of geriatric rehabilitation, as well as author of Age in Place, a guide to modifying, organizing, and decluttering mom and dad's home. And for further details, visit otherwisehealthy.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.